This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Since April 2020, the employment of women in Canada has dropped by 7%. Over that same period of time, the employment by men has dropped by 3%. In fact, as we sit here in July of 2020, we are seeing the lowest level of employment by women in over 3 decades in Canada. This is a podcast talking all about innovation, badassness, health, entrepreneurship. And I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the situation that we have going on in this world right now as it pertains to elevating the voices of women as entrepreneurs and as leaders. This podcast today is a total solo episode by me, and what we are going to explore is the opportunity to create a new future and some of the pressures that we have placed upon us right now. Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So let's get into this because I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it because I know we are talking about it behind closed doors. So since the beginning of the pandemic and since we have gone into a relative state of lockdown, at least where we are in Toronto, we've spent more time outside. As soon as it was warm enough for us to do that, we were out on the street. We were playing soccer. We were doing whatever. We were bundled up. And we live at the corner of two streets. And just the way we're situated and in the community where we are at, we get a fair bit of foot traffic past our front door. And in doing so, it afforded us this really incredible opportunity to chat with our neighbors and to see our friends who were also out on bike rides with their families and kids. And this interesting thing started to happen as we got deeper into the pandemic. Women would come together, men would come together, they would talk, men would talk about their work, we would talk about our work, but more so what the conversation turned to was how the heck we were balancing it all. How were we managing to keep the house clean and the kids educated and our businesses and our work operating? And simultaneously, with all due respect, the men were talking about the influence of the pandemic on the market. They say that you are the product of the 5 people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Now, I appreciate that just in painting this picture, what we are also seeing is the relative privilege in which I exist. Because the conversation that was not happening off to the side amongst the group of women that I was talking to was the increased level of abuse that they were facing at home, which is a reality for so many women globally. It's an important part of what we're talking about when we're talking about the pressures that families and institutions and our society has faced during this time. So I want to start first with that piece. I want to start first with the acknowledgement that when we have a system and we want to test whether a system is working well, all we really need to do is apply pressure upon it. This is what we do when we're looking at the body and we're trying to understand physiology. It's what we can do when we are a mechanical engineer and we're trying to understand how much pressure a system can withstand. We do the same thing when we're building bridges and architectural structures, and we see this in society as well. And the last 5 months has been this incredible opportunity to apply pressure to various elements of our society. We have moved through 2020 facing crisis after crisis. But I think part of these crises, part of these situations are simply the boiling over, the symptomatic manifestation of a problem that has been lingering below the surface. And these aren't my ideas. These are ideas that are talked about quite pervasively right now. But what I want to do is take the collection of these notions, the collection of these symptoms, and start to understand part of the root cause. As we stood there as women talking about the pressure and the work and what we were managing, the pieces that were placed upon us, the question was increasingly transitioning to how we were going to balance these elements moving forward, what we were going to do if school didn't go back in its current iteration in September. Every woman I spoke to had moved through the inner dialogue of whether or not right now was a time to take time off work, whether this was an opportunity to take a leave, whether this was a call to action to maybe step back, which again is an incredibly privileged opportunity. The reality is, for most families, the ability to step back from work is not necessarily something that they have access to. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to do something about that. When we look at the typical school day, which frankly is where a lot of my attention has ended up being focused, even prior to COVID, we were finished our school day at 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't know about you, but for many of my days, I wasn't even starting my own lunch until 3 p.m. 3:30, in fact, our bell rang at 3:10. 3:10 is the middle of the work day in my world. And yet we were being interrupted to go and grab our kids. I love my kids. I want them to have ample opportunity. But what it pointed out to me on a daily basis, and I work from home and had the incredible privilege of being able to pick up my kids often when I didn't forget them because I was in the midst of working, was that ending a school day at 3 o'clock was not only an archaic way of setting up our day, it significantly impaired the productivity of my day and countless others. And by others, what I typically mean are women. You see, we have a school system that right now is being challenged. We are forced to look at it from an innovative capacity so we can figure out how we can get people back to work. The reality is, as more and more people are realizing, they can't handle all of their pieces of their life together. There is a significant gap between what is expected from a typical workday and output, and the way we have structured our school system. And we need to acknowledge that it is a considerable privilege for one member of a family to be able to stay home to accommodate that school schedule. Now, I know that this idea of, well, let's just make kids stay in school longer isn't necessarily the best choice for kids. But what I'm a big fan of looking at is not the black and white version of how these things can exist, but in fact, whether or not there's a third option, a fourth option, or even a fifth. You see, this is a podcast and this is a community that is all about innovative thinking. It is about entrepreneurship. It's about recognizing a problem and seeing if we can come up with a new solution. The way our school system is set up is not necessarily leaving families set up for success. It is not necessarily leaving students in a place of equality for many reasons, but not the least of which is we educate boys and we educate girls and we tell them that there are equal opportunities in the world until you get into the workforce. And you, ladies, are probably going to be the ones picking up your kids. You're going to take time off to be with your kids when they're really young, to nurse them and to have that mat leave. And in fact, we're seeing more of a transition where there's a shared partnership in that mat leave between men and women, which I love and I'm so encouraged by. But the reality is, the statistics show that it's predominantly women who are staying home with their young kids. And when they take several years off of work to be able to do that, it's harder for them to re-access the workforce. But what makes it even more difficult in a society where there is a reward for meritocracy and work well done is that time out is not only an impediment, but the need to pick your kids up from school at 3:30 is an impediment as well. That gap in needing childcare coverage from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until the typical workday ends, in the average family in Canada and the US, we're looking at a coverage gap amounting to over $6,600 a year. And that is if we're accessing the most basic forms of childcare. Again, I see the access to privilege in my community. I see the nannies picking kids up from school. And while that is a solution for some, it's not an accessible solution for many. I am not in any way proposing that we keep kids in a similar learning environment until 5 p.m. In fact, I would argue that the learning environment itself is ripe for disruption and innovation. We haven't changed the way we set up those desks since the 1920s. But as we look at the manifestations, the symptomatic manifestations of what COVID has created within our society, we see blaring disparities between those who have and those who have not. We see glaring disparities based on the colors of our skin and our gender and our education. When I work with adults in a clinical context, there are two primary sources of stress. Two primary sources of stress that I would argue perpetuate the underlying physiological pressure and disease states that many of these adults are facing. The two primary sources of stress that we see in adults on a clinical basis when we ask the question relate to financial stress and health stress. As functioning adults, most people don't know how to manage their money. They don't know how to increase their credit, which is the fastest way for someone to accelerate where they are working from and have what they have access to in our society. And most functioning adults, again, don't know how to care for their health. They don't know the basics of preventative medicine. They don't know how to prevent things like heart disease and diabetes. In fact, most of them haven't even been told that it is within their purview or capacity to control those outcomes. Many people are living in situations where there is perpetual poverty, there is perpetual lack of health, for a variety of reasons, but where it is not being solved is with school. I'm not proposing that kids sit in class until 5 p.m. I am proposing that from 3 until 5, kids can continue to congregate at the community center that is school. And that we as a society can be innovative in our delivery of programming that teaches kids to value movement, that teaches kids how to manage their money, that promotes opportunities and ideas that perpetuate this idea of entrepreneurship, because this is a generation that is going to have access to the least amount of job security, I believe, in the history of modern workforces. We have a capacity in a well-curated after-school program to teach preventative health, to teach strong nutrition, to teach young people how to care for themselves into adulthood. And if you don't want your kids to participate, that's okay too. This becomes an optional 2 hours, where as society, we innovate how we can create programming that give kids a leg up, that create a platform for equality, and provides a huge sector of our workforce an opportunity to do just that, work to their full potential. There is a huge opportunity coming out of this COVID era for us to look at the world a different way. A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge. And they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. At first, we were all talking about, when do we get our life back? When do we get to go back to where we were? When do we get to do it the way we have always done it? I've now moved past that. I've stopped mourning the way it was. I've gotten over how busy we are. I'm enjoying the peace. I love simplifying how many places I have to drive and how many activities we have to go to. Because I think that there's value in teaching kids an ease to life. I don't want to teach my kids that success at 35 or 40 means that you are putting tens of thousands of kilometers on your car every year. I want to teach them what quality living is all about. I want to teach them that they can access opportunities through ideas, not by the lists of activities that they have on their resumes. I would like my life on the other side of COVID to be something entirely new, to be something that we innovate ourselves, to take the symptomatic elements that we are seeing in our society and that we've experienced in our own life and use them as guideposts for a new way forward. I do not have any or all of the solutions. In fact, my intention behind this conversation, more than anything else, is simply to start to drive a conversation with all of you. See, this is an audience of innovators. This is an audience of individuals who believe in something bigger, who have ideas and a capacity for thinking outside the box. I don't think we have to go back to the way it was. And the opportunity is to move forward in acknowledgement of the symptoms, in acknowledgement of some of the root causes of the problem, and to come up with innovative solutions moving forward. This conversation today centered around school because it's a proximate piece on so many people's minds as we move into August and we move closer to September. But here's what I would love from all of you. I would love to carry this conversation forward. I'd love to hear from those of you who I know have an interest in education. I don't want to hear all the problems as to why we can't change it. We can do anything. We have seen that. The level of innovation that we have seen within the entrepreneurs in our society over the last 4 months has been inspiring. Watching the way restaurants have pivoted, watching the way closed stores have moved online, watching the way physicians who've always done it a certain way are suddenly able to leverage technology. Entrepreneurs are a small group of our society. That way of thinking, that level of innovation, that capacity and desire to take that risk, we are a small number. But now is our time. Now is our time to drive a conversation where we are solution oriented, where we take the yeah buts and the reasons why it can't be done, and we help people find new ideas and ways forward. I don't think that the opportunities for entrepreneurs reside just in lone businesses. I believe in the post-COVID era, the opportunity for entrepreneurs to be involved in conversations related to policy, related to government, related to industry, and like always, small business are going to be needed unlike ever before. My fear in watching employment by women and engagement by women in the workforce being at its lowest place in 3 decades, my greatest fear in that is that as we push innovation forward, we're going to miss out on having the voices of those women at the table. I know it's hard. I know that your laundry is piling up. I know that the corners of the room aren't clean. I don't even want to tell you the last time I cleaned our toilet. But here's the thing. Here's what I need from you guys. I need us to all come together and find solutions to those pieces. I need us to all rally and support one another because we need our voice at the table. We need entrepreneurial women. We need innovating women. We need women who are open to listening to everyone's voice and perspective. We need them to be part of this new conversation, to be part of this innovation, so that we can all build something more incredible tomorrow than we had yesterday. I would love to keep this conversation going. I know I've been talking at you for the last 20 minutes or so, but I really want to give you the opportunity to share your ideas with me. All of the ideas in the community of the Anthropology Podcast, we go and we hang out over in our Facebook group. If you look up Anthropology, the Anthropology Collective on Facebook, you'll be able to find us. I'd love for you to join us, and I'd love to carry this conversation on with many of you over there. I deeply respect the work that everyone is putting in to this world. I believe we are all doing our best right now. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to have your voice be part of this conversation, and I can't wait to see what we all build together. The Anthropology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Anthropology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Anthropology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place, and that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.